Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. Today we have two poems from Robert Herrick, the 17th century poet and clergyman. It has been said that poems in their highest or most rarefied forms sometimes resemble prayers, and that's probably more commonly true for poets who also share a religious vocation. Herrick was not alone in that dual vocation. In fact, one of the other well-known poet priests was his contemporary, John Donne. And like Donne, Herrick started his life a little rougher and rowdier than he finished it, living a bit of a colorful youth before seemingly coming to more pious seriousness as he grew older and embraced his ministerial vocation. And so the first of our two poems, which are also prayers, implicitly and explicitly, is a prayer that Herrick addresses to God on the subject of the verse he wrote before he reformed. The second poem is a prayer of a more innocent nature, and we'll discuss them as they come. The first is called His Prayer for Absolution. For those my unbaptized rhymes, writ in my wild, unhallowed times, for every sentence, clause, and word that's not inlaid with thee, my Lord, forgive me, God, and blot each line out of my book that is not thine. But if, amongst all, thou find'st here one worthy thy benediction, that one of all the rest shall be the glory of my work and me. Though fairly straightforward, I think this is a wonderful poem because it is both very particular in that it deals with Herrick's own personal experience and body of work and is a petition of a very particular nature to God to judge that work mercifully and generously, to pardon anything in his previous writings that is not, as he says, inlaid with the Lord, or lines that are not the words of God, and yet to find some redeeming quality even in that work, which might cause it to last or to stand to the poet's account when all things are tallied up. And this is something certainly that's universal to all of us. Life is full of reformations, and we often find ourselves in the difficult position of having to wonder or question after making some kind of moral commitment that marks a contrast with our past, if anything that came before it is still of worth. The 20th century writer, poet, and monk Thomas Merton struggled with this. He's always the first example I think of. He was already gaining notoriety as a writer when he became a monk and gave up all writing for fear that he couldn't disentangle his gift and his writerly pursuits from the less than honorable life that he was living as a writer. Eventually, God and his spiritual fathers helped him sort that out. And Herrick seems to have come to that place too. But the question still remains, did anything that I made before matter? Was it of value? And Herrick's prayer here is that perhaps with God's help, it will be. Our second poem and prayer is of a lighter nature. It's called Alternatingly, Grace for a Child or Another Grace for a Child, depending on where you find it collected or printed. And it goes like this. Here, a little child, I stand, heaving up my either hand. Cold as paddocks though they be, here I lift them up to thee, for a benison to fall on our meat and on us all. Amen. And this is such a delightful poem. You could imagine a clergyman writing this kind of poem for the actual equipping of children who can't manage much of a prayer at table, but still like to participate in those kinds of activities. It's in rhyming verse, which makes it catchy and easy to recall. It's mercifully short and simple. You might need a lexicon to handle words like paddocks and benison today. That's just because of the sorry state of our own education. But otherwise, it's pretty simple. My own children have committed this prayer poem to memory, and it doesn't take very long. But reading it on the heels of our last poem, there's also a sense in which you can read this as not only a prayer that Herrick is handing to other people, but a prayer of Herrick himself. He's already indicated that there is a way in which he has assumed a kind of humility before God and acknowledge that there's very little of substance to what he has made and is capable of making apart from what God gives to him. And so it's also possible to read Herrick as the child, or anybody uttering this prayer as the child. To enter into a second childhood is to have the kind of humility necessary to enter the kingdom of God. And so anyone can utter this prayer. A kind of confession to God that we have very little to offer. We can lift up nothing but our own hands, and that all that we receive, we must receive from above. I can't guarantee that Herrick had that double reading in mind, but he was a clever fellow, and so I wouldn't put it past him. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more poems for you. To listen to past episodes or support the Daily Poem, you can always visit dailypoempod.substack.com. From there, you can share these poems with your friends, with your family, with your enemies, with your own clergymen, poets, in case they need any sort of encouragement. I imagine that double vocation is sometimes a lonely or a trying one. In the meantime, on behalf of everyone here at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson, and I want to wish you very happy reading.